All right. You don't look like Adam.
I am Adam. It's the modern age.
All right, so we have a special guest in the back that's waiting, but before I get to that, I shared the wrong link, and I had the episode scheduled for a week away, so nobody's probably hearing I'm talking to myself. So anyways.
We're on our A-game tonight.
Yeah. So anyways, let's bring Courtney out real quick. Courtney!
Yay!
So.
Sorry.
So there's a special event with a special event attached to it. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. So this weekend is the Southeast Reptile Expo in Atlanta, Georgia, technically Duluth, Georgia. It's going to be at the Gas South Arena. And Shane, I believe you're going to be there. Jessica, are you flying out? Or sorry. Yeah, I don't blame you. But yeah, it's going to be in Georgia. It's going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be really cool people there. Snake Discovery is coming out. We're really excited for it. And we're kind of doing something a little new this year where we are introducing kind of not a new concept by any means, but over the years, a lot of people have asked or talked about, we do all these reptile shows, but we never do a show kind of like a dog show where we, vote on or judge the animal's appearance. And that would be a really cool concept. And that, it turns out, is a really huge task, like narrowing it down and actually making that like doable, because there's so many different animals, there's so many different morphs, there's so many ideas that people have, and making it like one tangible thing that you can have at a show. We decided to start as small as we can. So we just opened it up to vendors at SDRE to enter animals. The public can vote though. It's going to be this time, it's going to be for ball pythons and geckos. We'd love to do like hog noses, boas, everything else in the future, colubrids. But we have a limited amount of space, and we wanted to see how it would go first before opening it up too much. So those are going to be the two, I'd say species, but it'll be any kind of gecko, as long as they fit in like a hatchling style, like a display case. We're going to be hosting those display cases attached to our table at Southeast Reptile Expo. So when you first walk in, kind of go down a little bit, and our table kind of faces the back wall, but we're on that first kind of island. And I believe Shane will be right over by us. And we are going to be judging the animals kind of based on appearance. And I can go into it more, but how's that to start? Am I yapping too much?
No. That's very good. So I already got a couple questions. So
yes.
You got the species. How long does the voting last for? And when is the winner announced?
So it is only going to be open Saturday, and the winner will be announced Sunday. Because okay. It's a 2-day show, and we want to, be able to give the vendors back their animals on Sunday. And we'd love for them to be able to display their ribbon on their table Sunday. So we have some of those ribbons. They look good, huh? With the,
yeah.
Oh, darn. What's it called? I forgot again.
It looks like something from Charlotte's Web.
Yeah, it's... Yeah. I'm trying to, the rosette at the top. I tried to, so we have a local like awards place and a local embroidery shop. And I said, do you guys do rosettes? And he's like, I don't know what that is. And I said, well, it's like a ribbon. He's like a Christmas ribbon. And I was like, no, like an award ribbon. He's like, yeah, we could do award ribbon. So I'm like, with the rosette on top. And he's like, I don't know what that is. So anyway, we got them done. And I think they turned out really good.
Yeah.
You see that?
Is the show logo in bot? Oh, the logo.
So that, Rare Genetics Incorporated, RGI, is helping sponsor this showcase, and they helped us get a lot of this organized. And we came up with RSA, Reptile Showcase Association, and they helped create the logo. They did like a crowdsourced. They got designs. They had people submit designs, and we chose our favorite. And I think the logo turned out really cool, very awardy.
Is there people on? Is it an actual association? Like, do you have a board and a treasurer?
We're working on it. Okay, the association right now is RGI, Morph Market, and us.
Okay.
All right, I got a couple more questions.
Let's hear them.
So there's geckos. Any gecko can enter in there if you're a vendor. Yes. And then you got ball pythons, and there's two categories for ball pythons, correct?
Yes. We're going to do best recessive and best non-recessive, and that would be a animal that does not show a visual recessive or a homozygous recessive gene. So it can be het for clown, but it can't be like a visual clown.
Okay. All right. Cool.
Yep.
So there's going to be three ribbons awarded on Sunday.
Yes. So best recessive, best non-recessive, and best ball python, and the best gecko.
Well, cool.
And then we also have the best in show for the animal that gets the most votes overall. That's nice, huh?
Dude, hey, I already got a shelf up there for that, so that's good.
Look at that. Yeah. That's nice. Glass, too. It's got my fingerprints all over it, baby.
So use it as a murder weapon, and Courtney will go down for it. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got to figure out how to clean it because it really does have my fingerprints all over it at this point.
Well, cool. Yeah, I'm glad that you jumped on to tell everyone about the event. I'm really psyched for it. I'm entering some animals, so I expect to have that trophy on my wall when it's all said and done.
Yep. So there will be three judges, which we're not really naming because we don't want people to try to influence the judges, and we don't want, we're trying to keep it as unbiased as possible. So there will be three judges as well as a popular vote.
So I do have another question. So I'm under the impression, but correct me if I'm wrong. So the animals will be in a display. You won't know who produced the animal. And it will not have the genetics, right? So it's
it will
just
not
going,
have the genetics. It will just so have just, like an ID number.
Okay, so it's just appearance. Doesn't yes, matter just, if it has, it can has be, the trendiest whatevers.
It can be a single gene banana, and you're like, this is the prettiest banana I have ever seen in my life, and I want to enter it, and I want to show it off.
All right, but I just, like it. So it's like a double blind. You don't know who made it, and you don't know the genetics. So it's just appearance. I like it.
Yep. And I mean, we've had a lot of people say things like, oh, well, then if you post it online, people will know who made what because they could just look at your like Instagram and stuff. And that might be true for some people like my husband who is so online that he has seen everything. Hey, Chris is here. Chris, I'm wearing your shirt. Hey. But for me, I don't know what anybody, like, I'd just be like, oh, that's pretty. I like that. So, you know, I think there could be a little bit of influence. There could also be, because it's open to the popular vote, there could be like somebody who's like, hey, go over and vote for my, you're going to have, everybody's going to find a flaw somewhere. We did our best, and we'll move forward and see how we can improve it, you know, as we move on.
No, I think it's a great idea, and I appreciate you guys putting it together. Yeah. And RGI and Morph Market, too. So good job.
And SDRE, sorry.
Oh, and Southeast. So, yeah. Good job on rounding up all the people and making it happen.
Yeah, I did. Steven was the mastermind behind it. However, I did help vote on this logo. So.
Well, I would like – I want to congratulate you two – right now, because I think I successfully had the most amount of women on Reptiles Unplugged in one show ever tonight. Ooh. Boom! I did it!
Wow.
So, yeah, it's a big accomplishment.
And well, if Jessica and I start talking, you might even pass the Bechdel test.
Maybe.
We'll see. Maybe we'll just talk about you.
Well, Courtney, I'm going to let you go because I know you got other things going on. You guys got a documentary that's premiering right now, correct?
We do. So when you're finished watching this show, watch it through because ours is posted to the channel. It's a premiere, but it's not necessarily live. So get the most out of this and then come over and watch our movie.
All right. And we will have you on. I don't know the date offhand, but it's like within a month or two, we'll have Leviathan on the show. Yeah.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
All righty. Well, thank you for jumping on, Courtney.
Rock on, Shane. Bye, Jessica.
Bye.
All right. So now, welcome to Reptiles Unplugged. I'm Shane, Small Town Exotics.
I'm Adam.
Hey, smalltownexotics.com, new website, is live right now. Just go over there, type it in. Go through all the stuff. I have integrated shipping. I have all the things. It's so cool. It's integrated with Husbandry Pro, so I can do everything in one spot. Jay, our technical producer, Instagram, Morph Market, and he's going to be on Morph Forge live stream on YouTube at 9. So after this, you could jump over there. Adam, Beach Bum, all the same places. He's experiencing some family difficulties right now, so keep your thoughts and stuff going with him, positive vibes. And my special guest co-host is...
I don't know. I forgot. No, it's Jessica. Jessica Hare from Hare Hollow Farm and Holdback Rack Podcast.
Yeah, and look at this brand new shirt I got today behind Arby's. Pretty cool, huh?
Hell yeah. That's the only thing I do behind Arby's is get free reptile shirts.
Well, Adam usually does this, so I'm going to try to do it. But we got Leviathan in here. Thank you, Leviathan. We got Jamie in here. Thank you, Jamie. Courtney, she was on. So, I mean, that's kind of cheating. And, man, we got Peter Snakes, the Portuguese guy from in Russia. Love you, Peter. And we got Steven. What's up, Steven? Other Steven. We got Chris Eaton in here, too, man. Thank you for showing up, brother. And, Shauna Connor. Thank you, Shauna. So, this weekend, current events. Now we're back to current events. This weekend is Southeast Reptile Expo. I'm vending. I'm also participating in the Reptile Showcase. That Courtney explained everything about. I was running out of breath, sorry. Mm-hmm. And I'm not used to being the main talker, so.
So I'm not used to not talking, so it's a difficult time.
I know. Usually when you and I are on a show, it's your show, and I just sit there and shut up and just like chime in every now and then, you know. But tonight I'm in control, so you better recognize. So yeah, Southeast, it's going to be a great show. Like Courtney said, Snake Discovery is going to be there. There's a whole Pokemon theme going on.
I have a question. Were people really mad at them for having a Pokemon theme? Like, I didn't see that, but I guess I believe it. But, like, what? Like, who cares?
Yeah, like, I didn't know anyone was mad.
Yeah, that's what they were talking about on the live. I was like, Pokemon's pretty happening right now. You should want Pokemon theme. Like, add it even more Pokemon in there.
Here's what I've come to realize in my old age. Like, no matter what, somebody's going to be unhappy.
Mm-hmm. Here's a dog pack.
Can you guys hear all my dogs? Jessica, take over for a second.
Okay. Well, and I realize it's Snake Discovery's theme, and then the show just tried to brand it, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with that at all. And I also think it's just good in general, because I know Pokemon, people look down on it because it's for kids, but now it's for like childlike man adults. But it's a collecting a bunch of animals to battle to the death, but you're still collecting animals. So I think it sort of is on theme with the reptile hobby. So I don't think there's literally anything wrong with it at all. And I don't know. The only thing who might think there's something wrong with it is Nintendo. Because they might have maybe wanted to occlude the trademarkable parts a little bit.
Yeah, I was listening the whole time while I was dog sitting there. I mean, maybe there's a trademark thing, but man, people need to lighten up. There's no reason to be mad over a Pokemon theme. Whatever gets people excited and gets them engaged in participating. I mean, I want to see some Pikachus and Charmanders walking around the show. I want it to look like a Comic-Con, you know?
Yeah, who cares? Literally.
Yeah, let people have fun.
And Chris says they should do a Star Wars theme. They should. Good. Like, there should be more.
Yeah, I'll do Star Wars too, man.
Well, you get free blowjobs, so that's pretty good. You don't need me to go behind the Arby's at this point.
I was going to say, I don't know. I already went to Arby's today, so I'm good. But, all right. So, Yeah, Jerry, my, all right, so here's a current event that's not reptile related. I got a baby, I got a puppy, a beagle. His name's Jerry. And yeah, he's causing chaos in the background because none of my kids are home to dog sit right now. So this is a free for all outside of the podcast room right now.
Are they out working or chasing girls?
One's with his mom this week and the other one's at work. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. My older son, man, he's working 5 nights a week now. He's what? Like, Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. He's got more money in his bank account than I got. So
that's good. Do you do your recaps of the last week's first? Or do you?
Yeah. So last week we had on Moose from Great Balls of Fryer, and we went over a bunch of stuff, the projects he's working. He has diversified into frozen rodents. Mm-hmm. He hits a lot of shows in the southern region. And so Moose is doing that. He's doing good. And he actually texted me earlier and said he was available to help me co-host if Adam wasn't here. And I was like, I already got Jessica. Mm-hmm. And I think it would be weird recapping your own episode.
He'd have to analyze his performance.
But I think Moose, I think we've all diversified a little bit. What do you think about that, Jessica?
Yeah, I mean, my takeaway from Moose's episode, which I alluded to you with this on the phone, is if someone feels like something is working, do more of that. So if he thinks frozen rodents is working, good. Great. Good. Like it's part of the like growing into business instead of going into business thing. Like you might have a business plan to begin with, but if something pops off, do that. And so it's fine. Good.
Yeah. No, I agree. And Moose seems happy doing it and it keeps him active and busy and still involved in the reptiles and doing all the things. So yeah. Good job, Moose. Woo.
Yeah, and we always need more rodents, let's be honest. I've been to a lot of reptile shows with zero rodent vendors of any kind.
Well, okay, so I've noticed in my short excursions that there's either too many or none. It's like feast or famine.
Yeah, I agree with that. Well, it's on the promoters to like think it through, curate. A little bit. I know it's hard to fully book it out. So if they get five frozen rodent vendors, that's it. They're like, run it. Just fucking run it. But a little bit of pre-planning goes a long way, I think. Free tables for a rodent vendor to come out to a place that needs a rodent vendor badly and never has one that's local. Do that. It'd be good for everybody.
And bonus points, so there is a frozen rodent vendor. I'm not sure of the name, but sometimes he brings pickled quail eggs. And I really like to eat pickled quail eggs. So if you're a frozen rodent vendor or critter vendor, like bring those pickled eggs and I'll buy them. Just saying.
What about pickles?
No, pickles suck.
We have a straight up pickle vendor a lot. Oh,
that's kind of random and some kind of weird sexual innuendo I'm picking up there.
I don't know. And he does like, they're interesting. He'll do bread, cookies, like sweet breads, like cinnamon buns, pickles, and like three ball pythons. And you're like, okay, brother. But he does like interesting pickle flavors, like pickles mixed with Kool-Aid.
Yeah, I'm not a pickle fan, you know.
No, you don't like the tickle of pickle. Come on,
come on. That's not my jam. Yeah. So currently, what's the current events? I usually listen to like other podcasts to find out the current events.
Lace and GHI.
Lace and GHI are allelic, or they might be allelic. If not, they're really close, right? That's the last update I heard.
Is that good, bad, or indifferent?
I think it's kind of bad because you would never be able to have a white lace GHI of any sort.
Do you like white lace enough Do you think white lice is overrated, underrated, and the middle rated?
I mean, I just think, in my opinion, it's just a it's not desert ghost. Don't get me wrong. It's just another flavor of that type of thing, though.
Yeah, I think is interesting, but
I mean, it's like desert ghost with some belly pattern going on, so it's kind of cool.
Yeah, I just think some of the adult white laces, they're not as good as a desert ghost to me.
Right.
They're cool, but they're just not as good. So I'm like, I don't know. I have like zero interest in making a white lace GHI anyway. So now they're really like, I still don't have any interest.
So here's my take on it. It was super hot for a while. And usually when stuff is super hot, I just look the other way.
So yeah, it's too much energy chasing other people's fancies.
Yeah. But back to lace and GHI. Does a lace GHI have a interesting reaction because they're close, or does it look just like a lace GHI?
It does look like a puffy, fluffy GHI, but it's not like
it's not like
a GHI Mojave is more transformative than, and those aren't allelic at all, right?
Right. Yeah, I would think it would be a bad thing if I was in that project, but.
Yeah, I think it's like neutral. It's a neutral thing because I don't think as many people are in lace as are in Desert Ghosts.
Yeah, that's very true.
Mm-hmm. Sweetbread is brains. I just meant like you know, a cinnamon roll or a pumpkin cake or. Gingerbread. Oh, dude,
if there is pumpkin bread, I'm in. I am a pumpkin spice.
Yeah, he does stuff like that. Right, it like, and covered up, so there's no, like, I don't know, parakeet dust flying into it or whatever. So it looks very hygienic. It's just funny that we have a pickle bread vendor, ball python vendor. It's fine.
Yeah, so, diversify. So everyone in the chat, whose podcast background looks more professional? Jessica with the green screen logo or me with like a real prop room? What are you guys' thoughts? Just go ahead and randomly put them in the comments. We'll revisit this later. I just thought I'd have a comparison real quick.
I like podcast setups where there's like a depth of field. I think it looks better, but... So there's a wall back here. there's
not distance. Oh, I thought that was like a real background back there.
Yo, you know? I'm living in the night in the forest.
See, Peter says you.
Oh.
And I got Mike and Jamie and Shauna on me. So three to one, you know.
Yeah, it's all like, you know, when you take a picture and you're in portrait mode and it like forces like a depth of field and blurs the background around the figure. It looks like that, which I think is aesthetic to a human eyeball because this looks flat because it is. But whatever. We make the best.
Yeah, I could blur it out more because I have a Sigma 16 on this camera. But if I drop the f-stop any lower, I don't have enough light in here to actually pick myself up at that point.
So I'm Adam, so.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So, what's up, Will?
He's back.
I know. Will, you missed it. I had two women on here, and I'm pretty sure that's the first time ever two women at the same time has been on Reptiles Unplugged. So,
you know what I've been doing this week? This is not news. I've been going back to listen to really old Reptiles Unplugged.
On purpose.
Because I think there's something about looking with perfect sight back in time at someone's opinions of what would be happening now in the context then. And I think that's more elucidative than almost anything we could say about what's happening now.
So were there people that were wrong and people that were right?
Absolutely. But that's what's interesting. And everyone was very confident at that time also. And also maybe like not cripplingly depressed. So that's also interesting in its own way about the market conditions.
All right. So, because you're a co-host of Reptiles Unplugged tonight, so let's drop some names. Who was right? Who was wrong?
Well, I don't know.
Was there anybody that was just like absolutely laughable wrong? Like, man, they really missed the mark. Let's make fun of them.
No, I just think it's like a degree of absoluteness. Like they're like, oh yeah, I'm getting ready to get into DG Clown. It is going to be the platform for the rest of the ball python hobby forever, and it's going to. I'm like, is it now? Is it $500 platform? And you're like, well, that's the new floors. Everything's going to be DG, and we're just going to add DG to everything else. And I'm like, no, people have different tastes, I think. And not everything has to be DG. And that was just wrong.
Well, I mean, a lot of people were saying that for a couple years. And I never jumped on that train either. I mean, I have DG and Enhancer, but to me, it also reduces the pattern, which I don't always like that in an animal.
Right. And it also changes the quality of the orange and yellow.
That was going to be my hot take. So everyone fights to get pastel out of their collection. And then, like, shuns pastel. Every animal that has pastel is devalued, but we're going to turn around and make yellow animals a different way with DG and increase the price. That never made sense to me.
Yeah, you've desaturated it. And adult DGs, now that I have enough of them, aren't particularly clean. You know, they have these, like, little freckles and splotchy things on them, which are fine. That's cute. I don't know. But it's... They aren't the end all be all, which is, I think it just people felt that way in the euphoria of the peak market. They're like, I need to pay $1,000 for a normal female DG. Did they?
Well, really? Hot take. I did a video with Alicia and Josh Harbin, and we have examples of adult DGs and enhancers, and the enhancers do not get the peppery dirty as much as a DG. Just saying. That one's worth more than the other or none of that shit, but I am.
Yeah, I'm sure we can like selectively breed better and better ones, but.
Well, my DGs get that like inchy peppering. You know how the inchies kind of get that peppering? My DGs get that too.
Yeah, and it's, I don't know, it just is fine. Sometimes I like peppering, you know, like a GHI inchy clown, every scale is flecked with black. You ever notice that? Right. That's kind of cool. It's not expensive or rare, but it's kind of cool. So, like, if that's something you like, you can build on that.
So, Chris Eaton says, Sean Bradley was right about a lot of stuff, wrong about more, but still right about some stuff. Forrest Fanning had a lot of shit right. All right. All right, I like it.
I guess my news is everyone should go back in time and listen to old podcasts and think about the hobby context around that time. Go listen to Bullshit or old Snakes and the Fat Man or old Reptiles Unplugged and just think about what was happening at that time, because that might inform better decision making for you now. You don't replicate it. Don't go buy a scale set. But
dude, I was just going to bring that up because you brought up Bullshit. Like during that period, everyone's going bonkers over scaleless head and scaleless animals and like $50,000. And then you actually hear the meltdown because the project fell out. Sean goes out of his mind. The whole thing crashes. So all those people that were dropping 50 grand on scaleless heads, man, I mean, I don't know. I'm assuming it didn't go the way they wanted. So that's a lesson for newcomers right there. Don't be so quick to pull a second mortgage on your house and invest in something new because you don't really know what's going on with it yet. Because I do see that in chats, people talking about taking out loans to buy some new gene. I'm like, man, that's crazy. That's insane.
I think leverage Is for people who aren't poor. So,
well, a new person that doesn't have a stockpile of badass females to plug a new gene into shouldn't be doing it anyways. And then, I don't know. That's just, don't get me on my soapbox. Here, I'm on my soapbox now. But, yeah, mm-hmm. I would just think twice before dropping a lot of money on a gene that, say, it doesn't, they're known not to eat, but nobody else knows that in the public yet. Or, you know, females can't lay eggs, but nobody knows that in the public yet. You might want to think twice before you.
Yeah, I've had, it's not an argument, or maybe it's an argument, but like, this is like an asset class that you don't get a prospectus on. You know, you don't know how many exist. You don't know who has what. You're just hoping, which is, I guess is fine. But I don't know. My risk tolerance is pretty low, clearly. So I don't know.
What's up, Dale? Dale was on the original Reptiles Unplugged.
Right. Go listen to an old Dale episode.
Yeah. I thought he was cool, man, because he was like the first person I seen to use like the blur background. And I was like, man, how do I do that? You know? So, yeah. And, you know, maybe we talk too much to co-host a show together about current events because I think we've already talked about everything. So prices on animals are still, you know, they are what they are.
Yeah, like summer prices go down anyway. So I'm not sure why people auction in the summer. Like, I guess I know because they want to use up their auction slots. But I'm intentionally like waiting on purpose because summer sales are slower. Less people are browsing. There'll be less competition. If you want to auction before shipping ends, I would just wait. Just wait like 1 month. Whenever the kids get back in school and the parents are like, oh yeah, don't have to buy any kids any dumb backpacks or whatever, then auction them. So some of the stuff that's like going for $80 right now might go for $120 in September. But that's where I'm at. I don't want to vend summer shows, and I don't want to sell snakes in the summer either. So they can be listed, but I don't worry about it that much.
So your opinion on the prices are lower in summer is backed up by your stock reports? I'm just putting it out there for the audience that you have, you know, data.
I don't think if I were to pull, there's so few sales in the summer, I don't even think I could prove a significant difference because there wouldn't be a testable number between each cohort. There are just so few sales, which proves there's less people buying. So when you auction, there's less people on the in the market at that point anyway. So if you want a deal, buy during the summer. But if you're a seller, you're incentivized to wait until there's more buyers on the market.
Yeah, I've never paid attention long enough to realize if it's slower in summer. Usually I don't have animals in the summer. This is like one of the first summers I've had animals. So
yeah, and I don't mean like, I like June can be like the end of the like spring selling season ish. So that's still summer technically. I think people should chill July, August, rethink about sales in September again. And I know Daytona's in August, but it's a terrible time of year. you know.
Well, I got a show in August and a show in October. And then the, everything's got to go at that point. What do you think about that?
In November?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we could talk about that. Like, something I've been trying to parse is, like, how people manage inventory that carries versus inventory. They're like, eh. I'll just blow it out at this show instead of carrying. Because, like, the winter isn't really that long. Like, the winter non-shipping season, was it, like, 3 weeks? Because I ship to the second week of December and then start shipping again whenever they turn it back on January first week, second week.
Sister, let me tell you, when you reach my age, an entire season just feels like a month. It don't matter. Like, oh, it's summer right now. I mean, like a week, it'll be fall. I mean, whatever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the point is like If something has to go be a pet or be wholesaled, it has to be like sub 175 grams. So you have to decide quickly. I mean, it can go as a pet bigger than that. But if it's going to be wholesaled, it has to be sub 175 grams. So like,
well, there's two schools of thought going on there, though, because like I have friends that will hold, but they do a lot of shows. And then like eventually they'll get rid of that animal at a show for that, mm-hmm. the asking price they want. And then there's like my school of thought. I'm not trying to fill up every rack slot I have. That's just me personally. And I mm-hmm. don't vend a lot of shows. So if it ain't moving, I'm going to move it. That's my school of thought.
Right.
And every week it's here, it's a deficit over week after week after week after week.
But if your carrying cost for that animal was 10 cents, it was a pinky mouse, would that change the sort of cost analysis?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, I'll hold hognose a lot longer than I will ball pythons.
Right. Well, some people produce their own hopper ASFs, and they make 18 million, so they could hold a baby ball python longer, and they don't mind the labor.
Right.
My thing is, though, is that I think people sometimes are holding for a price that's an illusion. Like, you're waiting for a tiny whale, like a person who literally does not care that that's $300 when everyone else has it priced at $100 at a show, like a tiny whale, like a person who's so price insensitive. They just sort of like, whatever, 300 sounds good to me. Like, that's a waste of time to me for sure.
I'm kind of like you. I think we're in the same school of thought. I only hold animals longer, like when I have shows coming up. Like, I know I have my last show is at the end of October in Nashville, the All American. So I'm not going to be so quick to move a bunch of animals out until after that show. Mm-hmm. Then after that show, I don't have any other shows until 2026. And winter is coming at that point.
Do you think your life would be better if you didn't have shows?
I do think about that sometimes, but you know, a show, like I said, I don't vend a lot of shows. So a show to me, I get stuck in my own little world here all by myself. And mm-hmm. then a show, the social aspect of it and meeting people face to face, there is still value in that to me. But if
sure,
I was
but
doing,
you don't have to vend to go do that. You just go.
Right. But I like to, you know, try to sell some animals too, but yeah. that's me. I'm not saying, hey, I'm vending one or two shows every month and it's okay if I don't sell anything because I got to see my friends. No, I'm not going to do that.
There is, right. I just wonder, like, if you had zero shows, would you make more money being as aggressive as possible, as wheelie and dealy as possible, not feeling bad about not saving enough inventory? Would you actually save more money net? Versus doing four shows a year. And I do shows, so I'm not making fun of shows. I'm just thinking out loud.
Yeah. I don't look at all my finances till the end of the year, if I'm being honest. I mean, I'm sure I would probably do better monetarily by not doing a show. Mm-hmm. But there's all those residual effects, like cementing more relationships and blah blah blah, that does happen at shows, so you can't really quantify that monetarily, right?
I still go back to, like, more people know you because of your YouTube channel than because you did,
right? But all right, so then that brings them to me, and then they get a hug and I take a picture with them.
Oh, and a reach around.
Wow. Well, no, that's at Arby's. That's at Arby's afterwards.
Okay.
But then I get the face to face, and then the relationship's, like, you know, there. Because if they just watch a YouTube video and comment, yeah, I know what their logo is, but I don't really know them. Are they short? Are they tall? You know, are they a guy? Are they a girl? When I hug them, do they smell good or do they smell bad? There's all these things that happen.
Very hard. Depends on what time of the day it is. How many bodies?
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just like there's definitely a cost benefit analysis that I think people are like, yeah, I just need to do 18,000 shows. And I'm like, do you? Because There's a diminishing return that happens when you do 50 shows, definitely. And then even when you do 20, because you're too busy selling snakes to breed snakes, take care of snakes, market snakes.
Yeah.
And I think
Yeah.
you could actually like translate that the whole way up. Like maybe you should do one special event show a year, max. And then I'm like, well, or two is pretty good too, but it's a lot going on in a show.
Well, define that though. Are you talking about one show? Because most shows have two a year, a spring and a fall. So are you talking about like the set of shows or just one show?
I don't know. I don't like, this is part of like how do we make shows special? What
You
if
turn them
the
into
only
Pokemon events.
or
Duh!
like this is the only time Shane Kelly of Small Town Exotics is showing up here now.
Yeah, but there's folly in that way of thinking because the good shows that I like, there's a waiting list. So you can't just be like, oh, hey, I'm gonna go vend it this one time. No,
Okay.
you gotta get your spot and like set anchor, man. Pound your flag in the ground like this is my table forever. You gotta like claim it, stake
Do
it.
you
I think so. Like I'm
though?
not giving
Like
up my
there's part of this
Southeast or
hobby right now that is convinced shows are going to not go away, but be less important further in time because of like live selling and just online-ness in general. So like the more cult of personality you can develop online, because a YouTube video could reach a million people. How many people are you going to see at a reptile show? 3 to 5,000,
yeah,
10,000?
something like that.
Which most of those people don't even know who you are to begin with. But the ones you have a special interaction with, that's fine. But don't know. I just think about it sometimes. I'm like, what if I did zero shows? And then you
Well,
titrate up and down.
my first couple years were zero shows, and I did good.
Yeah. And you had more time to do YouTube videos.
Yeah, YouTube videos are hard right now. I
I
got a
know.
puppy that like cries like a human baby. Man, beagles are loud, let me tell you.
I'm glad I don't
But you
have a
know,
puppy,
but
to be
let me
honest.
play de let me play devil's advocate
All
here
right,
for
we're
a
both
second.
playing devil's advocate because both of us do shows.
So, not everyone is going to do as good online as some people. And the opposite is also true. Some people kill it at shows.
Yeah, because
They're
they're sociopath.
better in person. Yeah.
Yes. Well, they.
I am not a good show salesman. I'm better online. That's what I know. But I do vend a couple shows.
Yeah, well, then your show should be your special events, which is good, right? If it's
Yeah.
just the two you want to do a year, Nashville and SERE, that's good. That's enough.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, like I have a personality is, a little tough. So I probably should do less shows for that reason alone. Because if somebody comes up to me at this point, my tolerance for stupidity is at an all-time low. And so I can't keep it in anymore. And I just let it rip.
Well,
Try
I mean.
keeping it in, but I'm not very successful.
Yeah, but that's something you need to you should work on.
I don't know if I want
Tolerance.
to work on it. I'm almost thinking I want to let it free. I want to expand. Like if I'm in a room with 1,000 people with a room temperature IQ, something's going to set me off. And I'm not mean, but I'm going to be very direct to their face. Like you're literally getting ready to kill that snake. So no. Bad. Get a squirt bottle and spray him.
Well, people that are going to do that need to hear that.
That's what I'm
But
saying.
I know you used to vend quite a few shows. So you have since readjusted your strategy and you're going to vend less. Can you give us like a little bit of numbers on that? Like
I
you
don't
were
know.
vending.
I did like 15 or something last year. D just
Holy
dates,
moly.
not total shows, which isn't even that many. So the people who do every weekend, I have no idea. There's just a lot of like I don't know, fake stuff at shows that drove me crazy eventually. Like, people doing an entire, like, set of shows, they make no money. They haven't sold a snake in 8 shows. They made $20, and they still go, and they pretend to be happy. And I'm like, you guys are high. Like, what kind of business is this? And it's not. It's a weird traveling hobby thing. And you're like, well, why is this show over-vended? It's because a bunch of people are there as a hobby, not as a business. I'm there as a business, but it's so over-vended and overworked, and there's too many animals, and they're too old, and there's a lot of price competition because everybody has to just make table. And I'm like, holy shit, this is a mess. Like, most shows are a mess in terms of the vending population. And the other problem with shows is you're not good at breeding snakes if you're at a show. The snakes at home are not doing as good because you're at a show.
That's the part I haven't mastered yet. I don't know how the people that vend a lot of shows still breed, because, like, when I vend one show, I'm behind 2 weeks after that.
I think that's the answer, is a lot of them don't breed. They end up getting lots and consignment deals and stuff.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah.
Like, I've been more surprised in the last year finding out people who do consignment deals and lots than I've ever thought. Not that there's anything necessarily wrong with that, but that just proves that you're not able to effectively breed your own snakes because you're at a show.
Well, I got a solution for your conundrum. You come out and you do Southeast and you do Nashville and you do that Colorado All-American. Didn't you already do that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you just keep it. Those will be your special shows.
Special, like, shows.
Yeah. Like, make an occasion out of it.
I don't even know what I would vend at Southeast. Boas, maybe?
Yeah. Or get your corn snake permits for Georgia or
There's
something.
No corn snakes. So it's just all illegal.
Oh, well, yeah, man. Then bring them behind the table and...
This is extra.
If you got to smuggle them, if you got to smuggle them, that increases the price, you know, if they're illegal.
Well, I make enough of every species that I could vend a show with something else. So I don't need the show to vend. But, like, if it's a very ball python heavy show, I don't know if I wanted to be a ball python person there.
Right.
A boa person, I would assume I would be there.
Well, yeah, and Warren Booth is now vending Southeast, and he covers a lot of different species. I already hit him up on what he's bringing because, you know, he's just got cool stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I just been thinking a lot. I don't know the right answers to anything. And some people, like, love shows and it fills their cup. And I just literally want to die when people say that. It's like...
That's a personality difference,
though. Absolutely. Yeah. But let's double down on the fact that I want to die explaining for the 20th time that a snake needs a thermostat that day. I'm not feeling any better about it.
Right.
So I just won't do that. Do the couple of shows I want to do. That's it.
Dell says he's on his third show in a row this weekend in Daytona next weekend. See, that's a show warrior right there. And I've seen Dale at what was that place? Charlotte. Yeah. So Dale's out and about. Floridian
some
just out.
Species I think do better as show fodder. And I think ball pythons are kind of one of them because they're heavier bodied and thicker as babies.
Yeah.
They're little colubrids, they like half desiccate and die each time, and you're having to give them water because, like, the volume to surface ratio is all messed up. So, like, show warriors almost have to be ball python breeders or boa breeders or something big, sand boas or something. It's just different.
Well, Jessica, we need to turn your frown upside down. That's all I know.
With what?
We need to get you out here to some different shows outside of the Midwest region. You need to get over here to the South.
Anywhere where there's not crippling poverty, that's where I want to go. So not the South either, probably.
No, the South is good, man. Atlanta, people have money. Nashville, people have money.
I know. It's not just about people having money, because people have money in Dallas. It's about, like, engaging the part of the population that wants to get their kid a pet to come in, but buy a $300 pet instead of a $50 pet.
Well, the food over here has got to be better than Oklahoma.
I mean, everything's better than Oklahoma.
Just saying.
But I've vended, like, down into Texas and all the way to Odessa and Colorado and Kansas. Yeah. It's like thousands of miles radius.
Well, it'll be all right.
It will be all right. I'll force it to using blunt force trauma.
Well, we are coming up on the hour. So what's next on the agenda? Who's up next week? Do you know who's up next week? No, you don't, because you're a fill-in. So we have Megan, the Morph Marketer, on next week's show to answer all y'all's questions. And that'll be a fun one. So we could quiz her about marketing and strategies and doing all that stuff. So tune in then. That'll be August 13th, when I mistakenly had this episode scheduled for. So I fixed that one last minute. And yeah, so that'll be a good one. Everyone go check out her Instagram, get up to date on what she does. She is a keeper, but in real life, she does marketing and stuff. So go check her out. And this weekend, Southeast Reptile Expo, I'll be there. I will have ball pythons, Western hognose, Mexican black kings. Come see me. Give me a hug. Buy a snake. Buy a shirt. Or just, you know, just come by and say hi. Whatever.
We forgot to talk about house money. Forgot.
Oh, well, man, yeah. We pounded shows into the ground.
So, yeah, and that's a topic I've already beat to death anyway. Holy
fuck. Well, it hasn't been beat to death on this channel, so.
All right, well, we beat it the rest of the way. The one thing, to give shows a little credit, there are a lot of things that will go for much more to show than on Morph Market currently, because the amount of, like, desperate people on Morph Market is at an all-time high. So, to give show the credit, and then it's much easier to sell anything to a pet person in a show than on Morph Market, because they're just not really transacting on Morph Market the same way. It's just anything expensive and for a baby breeder needs to be sent to a baby breeder who aren't really at shows. They might be at SCRE, but they're not at Oklahoma Tucky extravaganza.
Well, we're going to have a good Southeast because we'll have Snake Discovery there. We got the Reptile Showcase going. There's the Pokemon theme. So, you know, it should be like a Comic-Con costume event, too. That's how I'm picturing it in my head. Mm-hmm. And then I'll be at the red place. Everything's red.
Is there a Pokestop there?
I don't even know what that is.
In the game?
Pokemon Go? I don't know. I haven't played it since
it came out. You can, like, ask for an event for a Pokestop so that people can spin for balls. Usually, like,
that's way above my pay grade. I ain't got time for games. Jane. I'm a ball python breeder, man. Like,
get on it. Get a Pokestop. I think you can pay and have a Pokestop right by your table too, if you want.
Oh,
or a gym.
Dude, yeah, that would be sweet. If I had a Pokestop right at my table, then everyone has to come over to the red team, do their little thing, and then buy a snake.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
Or like the, I think you can also pay to have, like, the scent lures at a specific area too. I don't know. I feel like that's what people will be doing if the cell service is good. If you make it a thing. What do you think about that?
Maybe. I don't know. When I'm not on my phone too much, so I don't know if the cell service was good. So, all right. Well, thank you, Jessica.
Wait, I have a question. What's your favorite Pokemon?
Mine?
Yeah.
I like Snorlax.
That's your favorite? Because he's sleeping?
Yeah, because he's a fat, just...
Well, now we know.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, thank you to everyone in the chat. And next week we'll have Megan on. Hopefully next week Adam will be back as well. Send him some positive
vibes.
What
do you mean? I'm here.
Oh, God. Send Adam some positive vibes, all that stuff. And until next time, guys, rock on.
Bye.
Bye.